That'll be handed off to Ganesh. I don't see Ganesh on right now.
Hi, Jack. This is Mansi from Ladies. So Ganesh won't be available today.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did talk about it at last meeting, and if you can just talk with him and make sure that someone from Radisys is, you know, works with William to take the handoff and cover for the next month. All right?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So we've turned on the recording. If anyone is not happy with the recording, they can leave or raise an objection. We record the meetings. This is the ORAN software community meeting for January 27th, 2021. Welcome, everyone. William Diego is the scribe for today. And we'll start with the roll call. I'm Jack Murray from AT&T. Jinri?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. David?
I am here.
John Paul?
Yes, good morning, Jack. Hello, everybody. John Paul from Ericsson here.
Masafumi-san?
Hi, this is Masafumi.
Juha?
Hello, everybody. This is Juha from Nokia.
William?
Hello, this is William from Orange.
Ganesh is not here.
Yeah, hi. This is Mansi, standing for Ganesh today.
Okay. And Vishwa. All right. So we have enough of a quorum to continue. So the first item to discuss is the approval of the minutes of last week's meeting. So we'll scroll down to last week's meeting, which was January 20th, 2021. The recording of the meeting is attached. And we have, you know, the information here recorded as part of the meeting activities. Is there anyone that has any questions, concerns, or issues that they'd like to raise on the January 20th, 2021 minute meetings? Notes? So not hearing any questions, William, can you make a motion to accept?
I made a motion to accept these minutes.
Do I have a second?
I can second that here.
Thank you, David. All those in favor say aye.
Chair Paul says aye.
Chair saying aye.
He says aye.
You all says aye.
All those against say nay. Okay, so we've approved the minutes from last week's meeting and we'll return to this week's agenda. Okay, so the next item for item four is a review of today's agenda. Does anyone have any items they'd like to add to the agenda for today?
Well, I have the repo request, but is that already covered in the release votes and approval?
Yes, then we'll cover it there. All right. Anyone else have anything? I have two items that I want to add to the agenda. One is, you know, we're approaching the annual review and voting time for the TOC. we typically look at that at the anniversary of the forming, which was the end of March. So we will, we need to review that process and talk about what options there are. There are, based on the charter, there are six positions. There are a total of 12 positions, six positions named by the operators, named by the EC. The EC membership has, you know, has been updated. So there are a few new members and one member has left. And then there is also the six at-large positions that we can vote to, you know, add representative companies. It's open to anyone who's involved in the open source. So I'd like to spend a little time on talking about people, you know, making, nominating themselves, you know, participants to join the TOC and make sure that the existing participants are interested in continuing in their roles. So we'll spend some time on that and add that to the agenda. The other item is I would like to ask one of the other TOC members to take on a role of maybe holding some meetings about, you know, strategy. I mean, it's try to get a little more involvement here. The requirements team is working, you know, on what the software needs to get done, but we have some bigger issues that I'd like to hold some TOC kind of more just open discussions than what we get here on Wednesday, because what we do here on Wednesday is a little process getting through what we need to get the releases done and work done. So it's kind of like a little bit of activity to charter a bigger course and get some other people involved. So I'm looking, would like to talk about getting one of the TOC members to kind of lead a discussion and organization for some additional meetings to talk about longer term planning and organization. You know, it's important that we, you know, think about these things as we move forward. You know, communities evolve, mature in different areas, and we need to make sure we're having some a little bit more dialogue than just always kind of churning on the track that we're on. So I'll be looking for somebody to take on that role. I don't think it's Jinri and I should lead all the discussions, just that we're co-chairs, but other people in the TOC, you know, are open to get more involved, and I'd like to see some of that. All right, so let's move on. We'll put them under new items down at the bottom. William, so those two items kind of go down here for new agenda items.
Okay.
And we'll see how far we get towards them today, but at least people know that these are open items. All right. And another call for today's agenda. Okay, then we'll move on to votes and approvals. I've already heard from Madi. Go ahead, you have an item to bring up.
Yes, this is the repo that you actually asked about last week meeting, the portability SDK. So I submitted the request to the mailing list for this RIC SDK PI, meaning the portability SDK implementation in Python, with the committers from ONF, and Jinri approved it so far in the mailing list, as far as I can tell. And then I see that there's a message from Thoralf asking for some additional information to be placed in the repo, like README file and license text. These seem to be okay with me, but of course I need to run them by the ONF folks to see if they have any objections to those.
Right. I think we just need a little more discussion on the topic. I don't know that everyone is at the same level of knowledge about what's going on here with ONF. The EC and larger framework of ORAN Alliance has been working with several organizations working on how they will be aligned, working together, and working towards a common mission and trying not to overlap too much. And you've seen some of those announcements over the past several months. One of them was ONF, and that led to some additional discussions about how ONF could contribute to OSC in areas that we were aligned and worked out. And so there were, several meetings with ONF and EC, with some members of, different parts of this, people involved in this group, parts of AT&T, parts of China Mobile, and some other activities. What I think the intent was not to just have everybody, competing, but try to find some area where we could work together. And the area identified was looking at an XApp abstraction layer for software development of XApps that would run across multiple implementations of the near real-time RIC. So one of the items is that, the team here has done an excellent job at building a near real-time RIC, but ONF has built a package that they want to maintain going forward and add their near real-time RIC capabilities to that existing software. And so it's important that if we build applications, XApps, that they could run on both platforms. And so there was an intent to create a project that would work on that topic. Ritwick or Mahdi, have I represented anything incorrectly or something that needs to be more clarified?
That seems about right. And we're also working with the architecture task force in working group 3. Actually, yesterday we had our first contribution to that group jointly with ONF, Facebook, and China Mobile.
Okay. And I think one of my objectives was not to create another project with a lot of overhead and to try to keep it aligned with projects that are already related to this topic. So after a range of discussions about does it belong as a separate project, as a project under the Near Real-Time RIC, or a project under the XApps, the consensus was to keep it as a project under the XApps, since that's primarily where it's focused. That brings it to Maddie's as the PTL for that project, and that's why he's asking for repos to be created for that for those contributions. And so we'll create repos that will be predominantly committer driven by the people focused in that area, which will include some new resources coming in from ONF to contribute to that work. It is open to everyone to participate. So I don't want, even though I don't want to portray it as that, they're going to do their work and no one else can participate in it. They're interested in being helping to drive this, common application layer. But, it's open for everyone to participate in. So that's kind of where we're at. That's what Mahdi will be overall responsible for managing it, like we do. The XApp project has a lot of individual projects going on, and so it'll just be another one of those under that portfolio that Mahdi coordinates and represents as PTL up to the TOC. Anyone have any questions? I mean, there's technical questions on how it's going to work and those kind of things, but that should be worked out either in a working group or in the requirements team or in the project itself. I'm not trying to get into the technical discussion about how it should work. More interested in organizational at this point and enabling the project to get started. And we have some requirements that need to be flushed out quickly in what will be part of the D release, since that's where we're getting started on. Any questions?
Jack, it's Jean-Paul, just a question. I think previously it was mentioned that this portability SDK could or would, I wasn't sure which it was, could or would be used for ORApps as well. Is that the view, or is it predominantly only concentrated on XApps for now?
I think that's one of the big questions that has to be answered. I don't know, in RITWIC, has that been worked out in ORAD Alliance?
No, I don't think so yet. Not quite yet. I think there have been discussions about the SDK that applies to RAP, but I don't think that's formally approved or anything like that. So, and as you know, the R1 interface and all of this is getting worked on. The XApp, yes.
Yes, so initially when we started discussion about this SDK, we had this kind of a aspirational goal that maybe we could unify it, but after some discussions, we do realize that there are major differences. So I guess the goal, I would say, is still to we should stay aligned, or at least talk with the real-time RIC and see what commonality we can find, because there was some wishful thinking, at least initially, that some apps, like for example, some machine learning apps could potentially run as XApps or RApps. And if we can make the interface similar enough that this subset of apps can be ported easily, that would be nice. But it's this would be kind of nice to have thing, and there's not much active work going on it. There's been couple of presentations in working group two that I know of that have kind of mentioned this goal, but nothing beyond that. So yeah, I'm definitely happy to talk with John about John Keeney about anything at the R1 interface implementation and discuss what commonality we can find.
Yep. Sure. Thanks. Of course, there is no R1 interface yet. So once we have a fair idea of what that might look like, then we can get cracking. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure if we're talking in the Alliance that we're talking to the right working groups. And Marty, if you've been talking to working group two, I guess, yeah, they're the non-real-time RIC or one side of the house. But I suppose if there is a view that we should have a portability SDK or whatever we would like to call it for ORAPS and XAPS, it should go through the working group one architecture committee, I guess, to agree on sort of high-level principles as well. So I guess they need to be in the loop. If we think this is something we would like to proceed with, maybe that's where it should be anchored initially as a joint proposal that could work for ORAPS and XAPS. It's just
I'm wondering if the first step could be that we kind of start bottom up with maybe John and see if there's enough, if there would be enough commonality before we even try to. If we conclude that there could be enough commonality, then take it to working group one. My private thinking, if we kind of force it into working group one and realize that it's not really technically feasible, that might be kind of waste of effort.
Yeah, I think there will need to be some bottom up, but as John said as well, we need a little bit of top down, a little bit of guidance in terms of what OR1 should look like in terms of principles and content. But yeah, I don't think there's any harm in starting maybe a bottom-up conversation. I just don't think that's going to sort of resolve all the issues at the moment until we get more top-down direction as well. That's my feeling, at least. John, maybe you can say if I'm off beam here.
Yep, sure. Yep, sounds good. Yep. Thanks, Jean-Paul. Let me come back to. Once we know a little bit more about what is an ORAP, what is an R1, then we can look to see if there's, we have a lot of work to do to then start something that looks like an ORAP platform, and then we can identify the commonalities then between an XAP platform and an ORAP platform to see where we can then build some kind of abstraction layer for common apps between the two. Thanks.
Okay, so then I see that Tharf has suggested some statement in the overall approval process. Tharf, do you want to talk about what you're looking for?
Yes, so you mentioned it. We located in the XTAP project this work. So as not to create separate small projects in addition to the existing ones.
Right.
And that leaves us with the problem of, on the other end, wanting to clearly separate it. And we suggest to add two statements. One is the description of what this component is about or what this work is about. That's the first comment there. I put the link, by the way, in the chat in the Zoom chat to that mail. And then the other one is similar in that it clearly says what this work is about and that it's not about actual XAP work, which is important to us. XAPs being the ones that typically deal with V2 service models.
Okay. Just to be clear, the RIC portability SDK is not part of the ORAN SC near real-time platform. It's not, theoretically, it should be used for anyone that builds a near real-time RIC platform, not just ORAN or the ONF, but anyone that comes along in the future and uses part of the near real-time RIC code, they could have the same issues, right?
Yep.
So the I just want to make sure
that's what we try to express there in this text.
So
so again, that's what we try to express in this text.
And I guess then you say in the license file something should be included.
The licenses
about that.
There is typically in the base directory of your repository, you put a file license .txt where you put the
Apache license,
right? The Apache license and the what was the other one, the Creative Commons license, and this is the place where we also should define this clearly the scope of the repository, and that's why we wanted to add there one sentence. What was the exact text? At the end, that says what's the scope of the work. I don't have the link now open myself, but it basically says this work is the SDK portability SDK. What does it say? Wait a second. This week, portability SDK sort code is an independent and separate work. It is intended to allow applications to run on different implementations of the near real-time RIC. This one sentence we would like to add after the two license texts.
Yeah, I understand the statement, and I'm not picking on the statement. I'm just wondering if it belongs in the license file versus, you know, the header of the overall project. I don't know that we've added things like this to the license file in the past. So that's
what we did it. We did it the same way for repositories in the near real-time RIC. There's a link in the email how we did it there. So there we simply say this is part of the near real-time RIC platform. And
okay, so we have done it in other occasions. Okay, that's all. I'm just looking for process to make sure we're, you know, if we're doing something different than what we've done in the past. All right. Maddie or others, does anyone have any objection to this wording?
I will have to, of course, run it by ONF folks there. I don't think there are any on the call or the TUC mailing list, as far as I know. But I don't have an objection. It seems fine to me.
Okay. So, that will delay us until you have that conversation.
Well, I'm wondering if we could just approve the repo and if there's any argument on the wording that could happen after the repo is created, or are you, Thoralf, are you viewing this as a condition for the repo approval?
I would like to include the wording into the approval. So when we now say we approve, then we approve the content as described there as well, this one extra line.
Yes, Nokia would like to see this included.
Okay, well, it's the repo creation is not super urgent. So if it gets delayed until next week, it's not really slowing the work down because this work is in the earliest design stages.
Okay.
So
So let's take the week and get alignment. Does any other TOC member have any questions or concerns that they'd like to raise? I just don't want it to turn into a serial discussion that next week something else comes up and the week after that something else comes up. So if you have questions or concerns with the project, this wording, or anything else, can you please raise it today, Jack, or as soon as possible?
And one comment to Thoralf. I think you specifically mention or the ONF micro ONOS near RT RIC. Is it not possible to state other RICs that it will be compatible with?
I think that will be fine.
Because there may be Mavenir RIC or, you know, Radisys RIC or whatever. So we should not point out other RICs.
Well, we should pick up all other RIC implementations rather than just one specific one.
That's right.
Yes. Right. So it should be the ORAN Soft SC near real-time platform or any other implementations of the near real time RIC, you know. That's made available, you know, in the community or something like that. So, Thorf, you know, so if you guys can just clarify that a little bit with what's acceptable and then repost that.
Yes, I will do that.
All right. Anyone else with any items or questions? Okay. So then we're generally in a good place, Maddie, if we can just get this clarified.
Yes, I will talk with ONF and then I will reissue the request on the TOC mailing list. So if people are okay with it, they can accept it by email as well.
Okay. All right. I know we took a little time on this, but it's a new repo and it's a you know, a little bit newer kind of activity. So I wanted to make sure people are up to speed and familiar with it and that we do it right. So thank you for everyone for taking the time to do that. Let me get back to the, all right. Any other, so we'll table that till Maddie sends the updates. But it's generally the consensus, I think, is that we'll approve it with those updates since no one seems to be raising any other objections. All right. Update on the copyright. So if we go into all these items here, you know, we've covered them a lot in the last couple of weeks. There's not much new right now. I would really like to jump over and go to RITWIC's discussion on the requirements. That's the relevantly hot topic right now and how things have been going in the face-to-face meetings and talk a little bit about what's coming up in the face-to-face meetings. So if no one has an objection, I'm going to jump directly to that discussion as part of the requirements committee. So right. Why don't you go ahead and give us an update real quick.
Yeah, if you want to let me share.
Yep.
Okay. So we've updated this in the RSAC wiki. You know, at a high level, I think these are the epics that, not epics, I mean, these are the items, the work items that we're going to work on. I think I have confirmation from almost every PTL except for OCU. I really don't know what to do with OCU, Jack. I think the talk really needs to kind of decide where do we park this project or, you know, so this is something I think the TOC should take on and have a
conversation. Well, actually, I at this point, I have to escalate it up to the EC because yeah. I can't magically make something happen out of thin air.
Right.
But this is clearly a hole in our current strategy. I would prefer at this point to move forward with, I don't know if any member here would offer, you know, up a, you know, a binary test fixture that we could then wrap in some, doing something like we're doing with the ODU and Intel and develop that. I think we mentioned it to Ganesh, but
yeah.
So, ultimately here, what I would like to get to is where we're working with several working ODUs and focusing on the open interfaces and testing the open interfaces and making as much of the open interface code available that wraps, you know, a you know, a test fixture implementation rather than trying to build the whole OCU. You know, I think, you know, and one of the, we have some interest in both the current lab, and now there's someone interested in maybe starting up another lab. This is an opportunity, you know, a real opportunity for us to show how there are implementations out there in the field in some form that are working. So,
but that could be a possibility, Jack. You reminded me, maybe we could reach out to the Taiwanese entity, right? If they have resources to work on the OCU project, we could follow up there.
Well, my concern is, we gotta just be honest, if they don't already have an OCU or code that they can work with, starting it at this point in time would put it, you know, a couple of years out. And then, you know, trying to get something built at that level and tested is a substantial commitment. So the question,
I think some of this is tested, some of this is implemented, but not tested. Like if you look at F1 messages and E1 messages, the E2 interface is not there. That this is where, even if you have a binary CU from another party,
right, we need these pieces, right?
Right. So that's the thing, really. So yeah, okay. If you want to bring it up to the EC, I think that's good.
Well, and then you could pursue it with them, or if someone else, you know, continue discussions with Ganesh, or if anyone else, any other company here is interested. We're not talking about generating, you know, software for the whole OCU, but just these functions that are the wrapper, kind of like we did in ODU. So that's some of the things I'd like to talk with more of the TOC members on, you know, how are we going to approach some of these problems? Because they're just not, normal open source problems that we're experiencing. So, so yes, the OCU is one of the big gaps in getting a working stack together that exercises the ORAN interfaces.
Yeah, and so therefore, you know, I think one of the use cases still requires the OCU to do this handoff, right, for traffic steering, which we really cannot do until we get a valid OCU. So I'm hoping maybe Radisys steps in with the binary OCU that Ganesh is talking about, right, and we can demonstrate that. So the other project are, we're trying to introduce a new use case for this RU failure and recovery. We have some call flows that we can go through. In a nutshell, you know, the RU comes up, then the DU comes up. This is DU initialization. And then the OTF, which is the Open Test Framework, triggers a failure command. And when that failure has happened, the link is lost between the RU and the DU. And once that link is lost, then we try and recover that RU back again. So this, I think in the next, in the face-to-face next week, Monday, we will go through this this use case. So this is something that we're introducing because you requested, I think, an O1/RAP kind of use case. There is an RAP here, a link monitor RAP. So we've gone through some of these discussions a couple of times and come up with a call flow. This is what we are kind of proposing. I think, you know, John Keeney and OM group and small group, please take a look at this so that we can get some feedback and see if we can slot this into D-release. The other...
Sorry, yeah. Just a quick comment. Ritwik, will we discuss this a little bit more at the RSAC meeting tomorrow?
Definitely.
Because talking to a couple of the lower layer split people that I know, they seem convinced that this use case definitely needs more work. In particular, that there may not need to be any external control loop at all for such a recovery, that this recovery would happen automatically anyway without any RAP or O1 involvement. Yeah, let's chat a little bit more about it tomorrow, if you can, please. Thanks.
Yeah, definitely, we can do that. I think David will also be there. I don't know what the plan is for this week, you know, with all this virtual face-to-face meetings going on. But yeah, we can meet tomorrow on the RSEC call. Let's see, how do you want to do this, Jack? There are so many projects. Maybe I'll just go around the table quickly to the PTLs. They can just give you a quick update. Maybe recap, Mati, do you want to just a couple of...
Sure. We are still working on the traffic steering XFD, basically the control loop closing to the simulator or the CU is missing basically that E2 control message. And we can also improve the machine learning model in the QP. Then there's this.
But when we're done, would this make that use case fully functional at the end of this release, or is it just more incremental work that has to follow in the future release?
Well, I'm hoping that this would be basically self-contained or complete from the RIC, from the XAPS point of view and from the RIC's point of view, because we have the data collection and we'll have a prediction happening using machine learning, and we have the control. We've been discussing with Viavi about their simulator providing us the ability to issue this control message.
Yeah.
So I would view it as a complete in that sense. Of course, we can always make it the traffic steering except smarter and, for example, add logic.
Yeah, we could do a version 2, version 3, version 4 kind of. Thing. I just want to make sure that we get it to a point where people have a consensus that there's some, value to people can take it and do something with it and kind of grow on it, right? Versus just, partially complete and it's a bag of parts where it would be hard for someone to pick it up and learn from it, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping that that we have that. There's not that many big gaps even now, except with the control message is a big gap. But the amount of work should not be humongous for making to realize that.
Right.
And then we have some auxiliary XApps that are kind of tied to the supporting the traffic steering use case, the anomaly detection from HCL and load prediction. Load prediction will be a totally new XApp in this release. So we have to figure out how we integrate that with the traffic steering. And then we have these demo and performance benchmarking XApps, as well as this signal storm protection XApp that we are still discussing with Samsung. We don't have much details from Samsung on that yet. And then the XApp portability SDK work.
Okay, so I guess my question kind of for the first one goes with all of them. Which ones are, hit a completion threshold at the end of the D release, and which ones are just incremental work? I think we need to figure out, Mati, some nomenclature and scoring here on the XApps that can drive a clearer communication. It's good to have them. It's good to be working on them, but there has to be some kind of threshold where they become minimally viable. And then we could do incremental work beyond that. But I just, I'm hesitant because it's just like every release, we just do more work on it. We just do more work on it. But I don't know that we're conveying to people, how that work is progressing and how, what threshold we're at. Is that a fair question from my side?
Yeah, I do understand it. Of course, some of the XApps are in different level of maturity. So for example, the
animal. And that's fine. I just need some nomenclature to represent that. Is it did it hit a a release threshold of one, you know, version one, and now we're working on version 1.1, or we're gonna release a version 2 of it. Do you want to use that kind of nomenclature? Do you want to use another, a different kind of nomenclature? Say this is in development. This is, you know, this is released for use. Some other term. You just need to be able to come up with some way to convey the status of the RIC apps, because there's so many of them and they're going through different states. It's nice to say we have them, but I don't know how mature any of them are. So we need
to come up with some
nomenclature.
Okay, we can.
I'm not saying they all have to be finished. I just want to know which ones are and which ones aren't at a particular maturity step.
So I guess we could kind of document somehow version, and any version that is 0.something is kind of not ready for prime time. 1.0 would be the first ready for prime time version, like fully complete,
right.
And then follow up versions with additional capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, right. And I said I'm open to the nomenclature. Just come up with something and propose it to people. Talk with what makes the most sense. But we need to indicate progress, and we need to indicate stability. All right.
Yeah. The progress is definitely showing in the number of XApps and number of companies contributing.
Very positive position. But how do people not involved in these projects know that, hey, it's worth going and looking at the anomaly detection because they've hit a threshold that maybe it's worth me taking a look at it, versus I go and I look and it's not, it's only partially there.
Yeah, I get the point.
Okay.
So maybe we could go to John Keeney on the non-RTRIC project. Let me see if I can, John, if you are there. Can you just speak to the non-RTRIC project a little bit?
Yeah, sure. The three bullets that you have there on the page that you're displaying now pretty much cover it. So the main things that we'll be looking at will be just wrapping up the NRT. All right, that's non-RT. Okay. Yeah, actually, Rishwick, I need to get you a version of this slide back for the presentation next week. But so we're still looking at how to pull together something that we could call an RAP framework, even though we don't really know what an RAP is or what an R1 interface is. So a lot of what we'll be doing in the next while we'll be trying to gather requirements mainly, see if we can get some test stubbing together as well. The work, of course, in working group 2 around AIML is progressing on. Of course, you're driving that, Ritwick. So we need to see what we can extract from that as well. It's still a bit tentative where we could find exactly somewhere to get stuck into. We're continuing, of course, with the enrichment information and with the RAP specific modeling and packaging, and then trying to map that back to the common app work that's happening as well in working group 1 and working group 2 in particular. So we need to have a bit more of a think then as well about this ORU failure recovery. If we can come up with something that makes sense, we need to of course work on the RAP for that. We want to use that RAP then as a requirements driver then to map back to what would that look like if we were to call it an RAP rather than a test script, and see if we can identify, use that as requirements extraction for what might turn into R1 eventually. We're still of course continuing our alignment across ONAP Honolulu with regards to the A1 policy functions being implemented there, and of course integrated and tested in OSC. We've to do a little bit more on spec evolution as well, as the specs continue to move on, both for A1 policies and of course for enrichment information as well. So that's kind of the whistle stop summary of what we'll be doing for the next couple of months.
So my question is, at the end of D, you know, this is a lot of activity, right? But at the end of D, outside of the end-to-end use case, RUU, what is the major accomplishment or advancement, you know, in the D release? You know, lots of discussion, lots of, activity, but, you know, in the end, we have to drive some major target and communicate to people what we've advanced in this particular release. So I just want to ask that we kind of try to work on a clear description of what that target is and the advancement in this release towards that target. Yeah, I mean, the RU use case might be it, but
that's why
John was saying it's unclear if exactly how they, you know, there's not full consensus yet on how that would work. But, you know, I want to make sure that we have a clear objective in this release, and overall, where do we think we are in the overall non-real-time RIC, you know, development process, you know, where are we on that roadmap, right? I'm going to try to ask everyone to be a little clearer on, you know, what is the target, where are we on the path towards that target, and how do we communicate that as success at the end of each release? Is that a fair ask?
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to speak to that now, or will we wait till next week?
If you could speak to it now.
Okay, yeah, sure. Just a quick couple of comments then. With regards to alignment with the working groups, which is really our primary objective, we're there. There's A1 interface as currently spec'd is implemented, tested and integrated. So if we want to move into our other possible scope or role of leading the standardization tasks here, all we can do is work on investigating and prototyping to see where we can find what we can use to drive requirements back into the working group. Like, our main focus here is to support standardization, not to go on solo runs inventing stuff that
true.
Yeah, you know, so which is why the main focus, as it, you know, we're up to speed with working group 2 now, with regards to what has been defined in specifications. So with regards to pre-standardization, all we're doing really is studies and prototyping, which is, you know, as I mentioned, particularly around supporting the R1 interface, R apps, and the AIML. As the working group makes more progress, we'll feed that back in as best we can and try to drive the requirements around that.
Okay. Is there,
then of course, there's the use cases would be our other main.
Right. Is there any active work to update any of those specifications in this area outside of what you've talked? I mean, they're always seem to be touching the the specifications. Is there any major item that would change the current specification or break anything that's currently working, being discussed in the working group?
Yeah, there's currently a study being worked on as a technical report around the non-RT RIC functional architecture, which is also driving the study for what is an RAP and R1. They would be the main things. Okay. At the moment. And of course, Ritwick's work that he's driving on the AIML study as well. They're the main things.
All right.
Yeah, so this is the difficult part, Jack. Like, okay, you have certain aspects of the A1 interface already implemented. Some things are still in the pipeline, like AIML and the R1 interface. And then we're trying to introduce these use cases that'll, you know, that maybe an RApp needs to be written. So it's not like finished goods, right? It's an evolution. And what you asked, I think, is how do I get an end-to-end stack operating across all the lines, right? So that's I think kind of measure of success.
Right.
Right.
But do we, John, do we represent, you know, the current state of this as just as the D release of a near real time RIC, or do we represent it as a version 1.1, which is aligned with the specification, or 1.1 that's a separate software process? How do we communicate to the outside world where the near real-time RIC stands in its usability to anyone else? How do we do that, or should we be doing that better or different, or just a question?
Yeah, sure. For non-RTWIC, for the non-RTWIC, of course, we're currently, as the specs are defined, fully compliant, more or less a couple of little edge cases. I understand, of course, that we need to work a lot harder on, for instance, the documentation and describing how to use it in terms of making it easier for the community to engage with it. I completely understand that we have a lot of work to do on that. And of course, I don't talk about that here because that's an assumption that everyone should be doing that. And that's just ongoing housekeeping that needs doing.
Well, I think just to put a finer point on it, John, and it's gone by so fast. If a new person reads about an article, a new company, and they want to use this in their software without coming and spending, you know, getting involved and spending a bunch of time, they want to just come in and use it. Do we convey well enough, do you think, where we're at in the maturity process, that this is, you know,
of course not, but neither does any other open source project. We've a lot of work to do, of course, on user guides and SDK and publicity as well. And hands up, of course, we've a lot of work to do, it as does every other project. I don't see that is a shortcoming. I see that as just ongoing work that everybody has to do. But if you're looking about kind of new flagship kind of headline type activities.
I'm just trying to understand, there's too many projects to follow everything, but is there a equivalent of a one pager that says this is release 1.1, we're compliant to the ORAN specs, and that you can come and use the C release, and point to here's the features, but is there any way to better communicate that to the outside world?
Yes, such pages do exist. There's a user guide, there's a developer guide, there's a how to run and test end to end. The second point then about how do we communicate that better? Yes, we've worked to do on that.
Okay, that's all I'd like to try to.
Thanks, Jack.
Understood. Thanks. All right. But at least the other projects maybe can kind of get a sense of the kind of questions that I'm asking here. You know, for each project, the key thing is at the end of the D release, where are we relative to the requirements that we're working against? For D release, we're working against all the requirements that were released, you know, in the fall, you know, tranche, right? So what are the major milestones that we'll deliver as part of the D release? I just think we need to get a little clearer in terms of communicating, you know, our accomplishments in each release a little more effectively, rather than just a lot of there's a lot of work going in, but I think, like always, we're the technology people. We need to get a little better at bringing a little more focus to what we've achieved, what's available, what functionality, and how we're aligned. Outside of that, and it's not completely the PTL's job to do that. It's that's one of the things that I'd like to talk to the other TOC members about. So I'll be sending some emails and following up with some of the TOC members to see how we can get some discussion going on around these activities. All right. We're at the end of the hour, Rick. I know we didn't get as far, but you know, the new real time Rick and the Rick app and the X apps are two of the more mature projects, not all of them. I mean, the new real time Rick and a few others have moved along quite well. Is there progress on the SMO definitions with Mahesh? I just haven't heard much.
Yeah. There's work on O1 and O1 vests and LCM.
But will that take us to some significant step that can be demonstrated?
Yeah, so Jack, the idea is that we should have at the end of the release, a functional O1 and O1 best interface. And part of the reason for highlighting this again, I know that we have talked about O1, there is maybe a functional interface in ONAP, is that even if there is a O1 interface working on SMO, we need the corresponding pieces in, whether it's the RIC or the OCU or the ODU, to be working for us to actually make progress at the end of the Dawn release. We need each one of them implementing the netconf server piece for the O1 to really work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we just need to be clearer around what your needs are from the other projects. So this is an inter-project, Ritwick, and that's kind of part of your job is to communicate across them. But I think it's important that we get those buy-ins at least on a significant number of the projects. You know, all projects might not get to the exact same place in one release, but that's good. All right, let's continue that discussion in the requirements meetings and next week. We're approaching, you know, our kickoff point here. So that's important. The other item that has everyone at least taken a look at the security questionnaire at this point and at least begun filling that out, because I think we have a meeting with the security team coming up, right?
That's right, yeah. Objectives. Yeah, I know Tristan has updated a couple of pages already, a couple of projects under the CII badging. So we're going to use that information and, you know, just discuss about what CII badging is. And here is our progress for three of those projects, what they have done. So that's, I guess, the first part of the discussion. And then maybe the second part of the discussion, we can go around each PTL. And, you know, if they have questions regarding CII badging, they can get their answers right there. It would be good if Christian could join that meeting. But I understand this ORAN versus non-ORAN, that has to be kind of worked out, right?
Okay.
So I know Hank asked that question, whether people who are not in ORAN, like Christian, can he join the face-to-face meetings?
Really, personally, I think it's okay to attend just that meeting. Not a whole virtual face-to-face series meetings. Yeah,
but but if there is a meeting that happens at, you need to make it clear, you know, statement at the meeting that, you know, there's a non-ORAN participant. So, you know, okay. so that everyone understands. All right. Well, I'm getting pulled to move to my next thing here. So if there's any other business that needs to get done today, if not, we'll continue next.
Jack, sorry, probably just 1 minute. I think it's a bit urgent. The TSC co-chairs is asking their MVPC representative from our OSC. Do we have a rep? So actually currently, I mean, at the same time, they are holding their MVPC meeting, I mean, right. Face-to-face.
Well, generally, I would think that would come out of the requirements team.
Okay.
All right. What's that?
Yeah, I can help if you want, Jack. You know, I might have to take turns with David or myself. We can represent the MVPC.
Okay. I thought, yeah, because I know, I mean, Richard, you are just too busy. So I really don't want to add.
And Susie is there, right?
Yeah, Susie, but I mean, she's co-leading the MVPC, so not right. sure whether that's appropriate for her to be, I mean, the rep. So
yeah, I couldn't join today because of this meeting. Yeah, next.
Yeah, meeting. I know. Okay. And you know that they will also have this MVPC meeting tomorrow, and I think the day after tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So please take turns, and then
yes.
And probably you can also kind of ask her from Tracy. I saw her on
yes.
Bridge, MVPC Bridge just now. Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, I had a distraction. So did you cover your topic, Jinri? Did you get an answer?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. All right, any other business?
Well, so last just 10 seconds. So Jack, I send you an email regarding the Oran Open Summit. Please take a look. Okay.
I'll take a look. All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll close the meeting and we'll talk next week. Thank you.